Hey everybody, Melissa McKenzie, publisher of The American Spectator, joined with my co-host Scott McKay of The Spectator. He is a well, not a contributing editor, senior editor at The American Spectator, publisher of The Hayride, and founder of Reviver.com. And this week we have some crazy things that I had no idea had even happened, something in the news. And it is another strategic and military catastrophe, Scott, that n is not in the news at all. And it's being kind of masked over by what's going on in Ukraine and Israel. But I think in some ways is for America's interest, deeply disturbing. Maybe you can share with everybody what's going on.
Okay, and hi, Melissa. How are you? Good to see you.
I'm good.
So you probably don't know, talking to our viewers here, you probably don't know a whole lot about the African country of Niger, which is just north of Nigeria and like kind of sort of picks up much of the southwestern portion of the Sahara Desert. We have had a base in, let me pull up the name of this town where Agadez, I think, is the name of this place, where we have a drone base with about 1,000 U.S. troops that have, we've been running drones to kind of, I guess, drop bombs on ISIS and Al Qaeda as they are attempting to attack like Christians in West Africa. And this has been going on for a very, very long time. Well, the military junta that runs the country of Niger has decided to align themselves with the Russians. And there's like a long story here. This involves, the Wagner group, which operates Africa as a private army, and been using these guys means of gaining influence over these African countries. To what end, I have no idea. It's not like there's a ton of geostrategy that you can accomplish unless you're trying to get, conflict diamonds out of there or whatever it is. But in any event,
Well, Scott, isn't Niger kind of landlocked?
I mean,
It's a weird, you're right. It's a weird thing as far
it's
as
a it, you're
strategically
literally
goes.
talking about the middle of nowhere. I mean,
Right.
like this is a, like half the country is smack dab in the Sahara Desert, and the kind of southern half is more sort of the Sahel, which is kind of half desert, half plains, and then like it picks up a little bit of the Niger River Valley toward the bottom of the country. But I mean, it's like a, it's a nothing. Okay, like if you remember, the Clive Cussler book that they turned into a movie with Matthew McConaughey and Steve Zahn, and I can't remember the name of it. It doesn't actually cover Niger. It's actually set in Mali, which is next door. But if you remember that movie, this is basically what we're talking about. Okay, but we set up this drone base. So you got 1,000 troops there, and all of a sudden, the regime that runs the country has decided that they don't like America, that we're not the strong force anymore, and they basically have thrown in with the Russians,
First off,
and
wait
they've
a minute.
told.
Wait. See, I didn't even know that we had a base there.
Yeah,
First off,
it was a
like,
quiet thing, but we had a
yeah,
thousand
thousand
troops at
troops there.
this drone base.
That's a lot
Okay,
of troops.
there's a lot of troops. I mean, it's a pretty significant operation. Except when the regime in this country decides that they want to put the squeeze on us, which they did, and essentially cut off supply into this base and left our people like stuck with no access to like food, water, medicine, or much of anything else. And essentially we're holding 1,000 American troops hostage. And the Biden administration told no one. This only came out at all because of Matt Gaetz, the congressman from Florida, who got the Army Secretary is a woman named Christine Wormuth, who is there's a great definition of DEI. Okay. DEI stands for didn't earn it. Okay, which I think is awesome. And whoever came up with that ought to get a medal, and it's not me. But she's in a congressional hearing, and Gates is there, and he let her have, it's like an appropriation thing, and he let her have it over the drone base and what's going on with this. And I mean, the only media source I saw on this deal was the Gateway pundit. And yet the video of his interrogation of Wormuth is there. This came up, this was, what's the date on this? April 21st, but it was last week when this first happened. And then lo and behold, we just decided we gave this $100 million airbase I don't know how you pronounce the government of Niger. Okay. We just abandoned the base, kind of like we abandoned Bagram. Just, okay, we're leaving, you know.
Has that happened, or is it out of there, that's it? Has it happened, or is it in process?
I don't know what the independent.ng is, but it says this. Washington says it has firmed up plans with the West African nation's military rulers to withdraw its more than 1,000 troops. The U.S. has also agreed to close down its big drone base near the city of Agadez in the Sahara Desert. Niger is in Africa's Sahel region, which is considered a new global epicenter of the Islamic State group. The U.S. has relied on Niger as its primary base for monitoring regional jihadist activity. An American delegation is to head within days to Niger's capital, Niamey, to arrange an orderly withdrawal. So we just picked up and left.
So we're just ceding this $100 million of taxpayer money. And
I'm assuming we're taking the drones with us.
I hope that's exactly a strong assumption.
But the base, we're leaving.
So the Russians will come in basically in Africa, and that's the idea here? That's what's...
Quite possibly. I mean, you know, who knows? The military junta that runs Niger is going to decide what they want to do with this drone base. I mean, I'm sure that they will, you know, misuse it, and in 5 years it'll be, you know, rattlesnakes and tumbleweeds or something. But... I mean, the point is, like, you know, we were doing this and we put 1,000 troops there. So obviously it was something of some level of import. And, you know, we let some tin pot African dictator come in and basically destroy our plants. Nope. We're going to cut your people off. Like, okay. And then we just pick up and leave. So that, I mean, this is like, I mean, I guess you can look at this like Jimmy Carter's foreign policy is back, I guess, or something like it.
Yeah.
But
in some ways it feels, I mean it was pretty bad under Jimmy Carter. It was really bad, actually, but this is feels subtler and yet more pervasive. Like Jimmy Carter's had tumors that were, you know, easily cut and excised and fixed under Reagan. This feels like a metastatic disease throughout the world with under Biden, where there's been such a complete defeat of American hegemony that, you know, or hegemony, however you say it, you know, that I don't know that there's an immediate response. And I'm wondering too, and I just thought of this because we talked about this in planning yesterday. But I wonder how much of this is getting this shifting the troops, and you know how the Biden administration is kind of leaving bombs in almost every domestic kind of thing that they can, so that if Trump comes in, there's no way he can undo what they've done. How much of this is them covering their tracks all around the world and creating a situation that is impossible for Trump to solve? I mean, I really just wonder about this.
Well, You know, where this leads with the loss of hegemony across the world in a foreign policy standpoint, like where this leads is the thing that every American ought to be absolutely abjectly terrified of, which is we're going to lose the dollar as the world's reserve currency. And when we do, that $35 trillion worth of debt that the federal government has rung up, like that debt comes due pretty quickly, because you can't keep borrowing money and printing it when you're not the reserve currency of a planet. Okay, when that starts melting away, then you have to actually play by the same rules as everybody else does. You have to play by the rules that Greece plays by, right? And it ain't fun to run Greece, all right? And so, like, you know, you have that problem. And what largely is keeping that from happening to us, it's not so much our economic strength. It's that people don't want to challenge the United States in so forthright a way as to say, screw you, we're not using the dollar anymore. But when Niger can run us off, okay? And I mean, this is not a jihadist military junta that runs Niger. I mean, this is not ISIS coming in and taking over our drone base that's there to cut. This is somebody who supposedly would benefit from us having the drone base there, just up and doing it.
Or making the
because they felt like it was a good idea and the Russians put them up to it. Okay.
Well, more or they
what's that?
Or strategically they are, you know, what happens is weak players. It's kind of like when there's a couple bullies on the block and the weak kids go, who am I going to be safer with? I don't like either of these people.
Pick your bully.
Right. Pick your bully. And there's a perception growing, it seems, that I would say this is the perception, but I'm not sure, but I'm going to just posit this, that the perception is that Putin might be bad, but you can trust his word. The thing that I think is absolutely true about United States leadership right now, you cannot believe a word that anyone in the administration says. They're completely unreliable and they're weak. And there's no guarantees that, you know, if you're going to have a bully because you want to be protected, there's no guarantees that these guys will do it. Yeah. And so like,
well, no, I think that's right. I mean, I think these guys, if the number one threat to the country of Niger is the Islamic State, and the question is who you ally with to oppose the Islamic State, you're going to choose Putin over Biden.
Well, the Wagner
Putin
group
will send Putin will send the Wagner group, and they will go in and they will eviscerate these people. And you know, we may be drone striking them, but you know, we're not going to get our hands dirty, and Putin will. And it's like, okay, well, we'll throw in Putin. And he says, well, my price is I want that drone base gone. Fine, it's gone. And that, like that, I can't. There hasn't been enough reporting on this for us to even know, because the mainstream media has no interest whatsoever in it.
Right.
Even though, you know, you want to talk about like the levers start tipping over and things start changing. Like this is one of those kind of, I don't want to call it a black swan event, but it has the possibility to be something like that, where, you know, Joe Sixpack doesn't see it on the news and has no idea what's going on. But in all of these diplomatic circles and, you know, geopolitical strategic discussions across the planet, they look at that and they go, we've been kind of talking about how American superpower status was not, you know, was kind of just a paper tiger. Now we know it's a paper tiger. Now we know it's more like a paper camel. It's not even a tiger. It's nothing. And at that point, okay, like all of the, boy, if America wasn't in our way, we could do X. Those things start coming out of the file cabinet and start getting discussed. And you think that you have chaos around the world now, give it a year, right? Because, I mean, you know, like My book that's out, King of the Jungle, is about the Venezuelans invading Guyana and what essentially is the Biden administration does nothing to stop it. Well, guess what? That's not just a fantastical, you know, kind of book scenario. That's actually a real thing. Because if you won't act to save 1,000 of your people in Niger, or when you do act to save them, it's to give up a strategic position altogether. Like, you know, the Venezuelans invade Guyana, and what are you going to do about that? Nothing. Right.
Well, I mean, I just read an article about all the Chinese infiltration of the Mexican government and all the cartels. And so, like, sure.
I mean, they've been dealing fentanyl with them for years.
For years.
100,000 Americans are dead. Nobody's done a damn thing.
Nobody's done anything about it. And this is just kind of a deal that everybody's wink, wink, you know, has going. And so, you know, China doesn't really have to shoot a missile. You know, they'd be stupid to. So, you know, just they've got the people. They can infiltrate everywhere, right. And they've just got people to burn. I mean, that's the thing.
Well, they got people to burn. And they got money to burn.
And
because
money.
They don't care about their domestic economy. China doesn't have a welfare state. It's a communist country without a welfare state. Mm-hmm. Okay, I mean, you know, they crash their real estate industry. Okay, go abroad.
Yeah, well, okay, so to wrap up, the United States is losing its power and losing its place and in the world, its world standing. So this is just another thing for all of you who are listening to watch and to look for. You know, on the cultural front, you know, the joke is that you may not care about it, but they'll care about you. This, I feel like with world events, Americans can be very provincial because we're an island nation. And they think, well, what does this have to do with anything? Well, it doesn't have anything to do with anything until it does, you know, and each one of these steps that's falling makes America weaker and makes us more vulnerable. And, so what's happening in Niger, that loss of face and stature again, I just feel like a lot of chess pieces are going to be moving over the summer and into the election year. And they're doing everything they can to keep Trump hamstrung so he can't talk about it. So he doesn't, you know really what's going on and that sort of thing. So it's the American people. I hope that you are like really paying attention to fact-checking the things that you are reading and watching, because the disinformation coming from our government right now is going to become a deluge. And a lot of it, it's going to be to crowd out stories like this. We're not going to hear about the border. We're not going to hear about Niger. We're not going to hear about what China's up to around Taiwan. There's a lot of things that are not in this government's interest to and the media who wants Biden is not going to even look at it or whatever, which is why you haven't heard about it. So props to Matt Gaetz once again for bringing this out. And thanks, Scott, for looking into it and for us talking about it. And so keep watching. You'll be hearing news that you're not hearing anywhere else because the media increasingly is not covering it. So on to the next topic. We hope you'll join us for our next segment this week, which will be up a day or two from now. And we'll be talking about more cultural things in that podcast. So thanks for listening, folks. You can like and subscribe and share. Find Scott on X at the Hayride. The Hayride? Yeah.
At the Hayride.
At the Hayride. And then me, Melissa, tweets. And of course, you can email us. So thanks all for listening. We'll see you next time here at The Spectacle.